When productive people pass up their 60s and into their 70s, it's not uncommon to pass the mantle of leadership to someone in their 30s or 40s. Productivity and influence, we think, belongs to the young. Well, today on Insightful Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that in God's plan, age is rarely the seminal factor for leadership. And in this portion of our brand new study in Joshua, we find a man named Caleb who was granted a special honor. Caleb was 85, and Chuck called his message, Age, Your Ticket to Adventure. And he begins with prayer.
Thank you, Father, for this wonderful story, this magnificent account of a man who didn't care how old he was, cared only about serving you and making the most of every day. May that kind of zeal and vision become our zeal and vision. May we find in that life the balance of life for us. From this day on, may we enthusiastically and thoroughly follow the Lord our God. Whatever the hill country would include for us, may we take it on with excitement, anticipation. May we never say die until you say, this is the end. Thank you, Father, for the way you will speak to us today. May we hear you well. May we throughout life be able to learn the valuable lesson of turning our eyes on Jesus and looking full in his wonderful face, so that the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. This we pray in the name of Jesus. And all his people said, Amen.
You're listening to Insightful Living. To dig deeper into the book of Joshua with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightfulliving.org.uk. And now let's resume the message that Chuck called Age, Your Ticket to Adventure.
How old would you be if you didn't know how old you are? You know, Caleb at age 85 would have answered that question, I feel like I'm 40. I'm just as strong now and able to take on the giants as I was back then when I came back with that report along with Joshua and my other fellow spies talked the people out of it and fill them with fear. I had no fear. You know, it's worthwhile on occasion to develop a credo about life. I encourage you to do that. In your own words, based on perhaps a verse of scripture, find a statement, create a statement that represents how you live your life and why. Mine is based on Psalm 90, verse 12. I love Psalm 90, first of all, because it's one of the rare psalms written by Moses. Verse 12 says in the New International Version, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What I love about that verse in Psalm 90, verse 12, is that we're not told to number our years, but our days. Why? Because every day is important. And the way you live your years is based on how you live your days. So I've come up with this credo. Since every day is a gift from God, I will live each one enthusiastically for him. By the way, that reminds me, mentioning Joshua. When you stop and think about it, 12 spies were sent into the land. 2 of the 12 came back with a positive report. We can take the land. And they brought back samples of the grape crop. They brought back stories of what they saw. There were giants in the land, but no matter. Our God is greater than all. He wants us to take that land. He's promised it to us. But the other 10 said, no, we can't do it. And they got the vote, and the people chose not to go into the land then. They wandered for 40 years and more while that old generation died off. Only Joshua and Caleb remained. Now, when the Lord chose a successor for Moses, he could have chose either one. He chose Joshua, as we know. Not once does Caleb complain about God's choice. Life wasn't about Caleb. Life wasn't about what he wanted. He thoroughly followed the Lord his God, says it 3 times in his biography in verses 6 through 14 of Joshua chapter 14. He was never envious of Joshua's role as the new leader. He followed Joshua's leading, and he stepped right in to do whatever he should do, cooperating with the plan. He went to Joshua with this plan, saying, remember when we stood before Moses and he said, you can have the hill country. Well, I'm back. The difference is I'm now 85. I'm ready to take on the giants. And Joshua said, it's yours for the taking. And he dispatched Caleb, and that's exactly what he did. He didn't wait around. He took on the giants in the hill country. Caleb's timeless confidence set him up for what it was the Lord wanted from him. 3 times I want you to see these words at the end of verse 8. Look at it. He wholly followed the Lord his God. Verse 9, you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. And down here in verse 12, he wholeheartedly followed the Lord his God. How old would he be if he didn't know how old he was? Well, he'd be 40. The giants are still there. They need to be driven out. That's our land. Let's go take it. How enthusiastic he was to carry out that responsibility as the Lord had planned. To no one's surprise, Joshua said, go for it. It's yours. Claim it. And he did. There's no pessimism, there's no cynicism in Caleb's vision. Let's face it, nobody can predict our tomorrow. But based on what the psalm says, he decided to take on in these days he's living the challenge of that hill country that caught his eye back 45 years ago. Jim Elliot, before he was martyred, along with 4 other strong-hearted missionaries reaching the Alca Indians in Ecuador, wrote this in his journal, wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. I love that line, live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. So in light of that, and in light of Caleb's life, I've come up with a couple of lessons that I think last through the ages, regardless of the times in which we live. Here's the first. View life as a challenge, not as a threat. Take it on as a challenge, not a threat. Since nobody can predict what's in front of us, anticipate the adventure that God has for you as you live it for Him. Talk less about your age and talk more about what God is doing through you and sometimes in spite of you. One man writes his philosophy about how to live. Listen to these words. Don't be bashful. Bite in. Pick it up with your fingers and let the juice that may run down your chin. Life is ready and ripe now, wherever you are. You don't need a knife or fork or spoon or napkin or tablecloth. For there is no core or stem or rind or pit or seed or skin to throw away. So, bite right in. Life has so many opportunities for us. I was looking through some of my books recently, and I came across a story about Bear Bryant. You sports fans will remember the late Bear Bryant, head football coach for Alabama, and you who hate Alabama, forget that. I'm talking about Bear Bryant. He was in other schools along the way. One of them was Kentucky, and he was trying to build a program at Kentucky, and Frank Broyles, a friend of his, was the athletic director, University of Arkansas. And Frank said about old Bear Bryant, he said, when you look at him on the sideline, he's standing there with that scowl, sort of deep in thought. And Broyles says, it's almost like Bryant is about ready to say, let us pray. But he doesn't say that. He's thinking about the next play or three plays ahead. He said, what many people don't know is that Bear Bryant was a master at finding just the right high school kids to get to come to his school. And he never ran out of creative ideas. This is all part of living to the hilt, every situation you believe to be the plan of God. So he found out about a kid that lived in a tiny town in Texas. What was his name? Here, I got it right here. His name is Donaldson. Yeah, Gene Donaldson. And Gene was a guard for this Texas team that had won its victories in their league. And he wanted Donaldson to be at Kentucky to play ball for him. And other coaches wanted Donaldson, so they were all after him. Broyles says, Bryant was the only one who found out that this young man was a Roman Catholic. So he called in, Bryant called in his assistant, and he dressed him in a black suit, and he put beads around his neck, put him in a white collar, and he said, now practice, straight face. You're going to go to this man's home in Texas, and family's going to meet you, and they're going to be so grateful to have a priest come to their door. And then the young man's going to show up all wide-eyed. And when you see the young man, here's the line, memorize it. The Pope wants you in Kentucky. So we practiced the line with him. The assistant said, come on, Bear, get in this outfit. Get on that plane. So the kid signed up in Kentucky. He was going to go to Notre Dame, but Bryant talked him out of it. You know, wherever you are, live to the hilt. And I know he lied, but forget that. Could you tell a story on yourself that's halfway that funny? The risk you took, or the thing you did, or the unusual idea you had, or the creative plan that you followed. Life stays young when you're able to do that. No wonder the old guy won so many games, dripping with creativity. So, Here's the second lesson that I draw from this. Follow the Lord your God fully, not half-heartedly. You will find as you get older, you'll get colder regarding the Lord if you don't do something about it. You want to keep the steam there. You want the heat to remain. Following the Lord fully requires you to start doing some things and stop doing others. I made a quick list that will help you stay hot for the Lord. Stay tight with the Lord. Don't drift away as the years stack up. Stay tight. Stay on a first name basis. Second, pay close attention to His Word. Don't doubt it. Read it more carefully than you read anything else. Pay attention to His Word. Third, pray fervently and often. Don't skip one day. And not just at your meal times. Pray when you wake up in the morning. Pray when you turn in at night. David wrote, "Evening and morning and noon I will pray and cry aloud, and He will hear my voice." Talk to Him as you drive your car. Don't always have the radio on, blasting away at some nonsensical song or some newscast. Pray. Talk out loud to Him. If you live alone, make that home a combination of you and the Lord as you talk to Him regularly about things that concern you. Pray fervently and often. Fourth, refuse to tolerate fear. Don't give it one inch. Fears will come, and they will come more often as the years stack up. Here's another. Risk reaching out. Don't stay isolated. I've said this before, and I'm going to repeat it. You need all the friends you can get. Don't burn bridges. A friend may have hurt you. Forgive them. You need all those friends you can get, especially when you lose a mate or you lose a friend. You need others to step up and be there for you. Risk reaching out. Don't stay isolated. And keep having fun. Here's another one. Do your best not to become a crotchety old woman or a old man. Not even grandkids like to be around grandparents like that. Don't be an old grouch as you add years to your life. By the way, add praise to your day. Don't stop singing. You know, I'm gonna guess something here. I'm going to guess that many of you have not sung when you're alone for years. Say, well, you could, if you could hear my voice, you know why I've not done a lot. Well, you're not auditioning for Carnegie Hall. You're singing to the Lord. You love "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name"? Sing it to Him. You love "Majestic Sweetness Sits Enthroned Upon the Savior's Brow"? Sing it to Him. "My Jesus, I love Thee, I know You are mine. For Thee all the folly of sin I resign." Sing it to Him. "Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord." Sing. We were involved in a conference ministry at Mount Hermon for many years. In fact, I went for 33 consecutive years to this conference in various capacities and often with families. And there's a fireside area where you literally have a bonfire, and people sit in the bleachers all around, kind of a semicircle, and with most fun, our music minister was Howie Stevenson, played the accordion, and we'd sing fun songs, camp songs, and sometimes patriotic songs every once in a while, some of the great hymns and songs he'd teach us, but we'd always end with the same song. Howie and his wife, Marilyn, now gone, and I would chime in as the third voice, and we would always sing at the end of our camp, "Sing Your Way Home at the Close of the Day. Sing Your Way Home. Drive the shadows away. Smile every mile. For wherever you roam, it will brighten your road. It will lighten your load if you sing your way home." And we'd harmonize with that. And before long, the people would pick it up and they'd sing it along with us. It was always great as it ended our campfire that night to watch families as they'd move into the shadows of the night singing to one another. I imagine some of them, when they tucked their little ones in bed, sang to them. I have a very good friend who's up in years today. He said when he was still in the crib and a little, he was an only child and a little single bed, he said his mother would kneel down beside his bed every night. And she never sang lullabies. She always sang hymns and often sang the same ones. And he said, "You know what? By the time I reached about 20, I had most of the hymn book memorized. I had heard them all from my mother." What a great memory. You sing to your children? Don't forget to praise. It'll lighten your load. It'll brighten your road if you sing your way home. But if you're without Christ, you have no song. The melody of your life is dried up. That's why you often find yourself focusing only on the horizontal. You can't quite bring yourself to think like I've been preaching. To you, it sounds great, but it's not something you've ever entered into. You don't know the Savior. When you know the Lord, He has a way of erasing offenses so you don't get bogged down with grudges. He has a way of bringing songs back that you heard earlier, but you're no longer singing them. He has a way of changing your whole life. But it begins by your coming to Him just as you are and giving yourself to Him and taking Him as your Savior. He'll put up not only a new skip in your step, He'll put a song in your heart, and it'll make all the difference in your years ahead, however long they may be. Let's pray together. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a wonderful time for you to turn your heart over to Him. Right now, right where you're sitting, tell the Lord that you've been away from Him, you miss a relationship with Him, and you long to have what He can provide: forgiveness, hope, joy, peace, a home in heaven, eternal security. Trust Him now. Lord, help us all as the years stack up to stop all this dreading of life. Help us to remember a man like Caleb who saw these challenges as opportunities, never as something to dread, but as an occasion for adventure. Find in us, Lord, hearts of creativity and hope. Bring back the song that has been silent long enough. Encourage us, I pray, as we get into this week, especially for those who are sick and laid aside. I pray that You'd lift their hearts as well. Remind them that You are the one that can heal. You are the one that can give grace to endure. These things I pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Those who are living in the latter season of their life will find inspiration in Caleb's example. That's one of the many lessons we're gleaning in this message from Chuck Swindoll called Age, Your Ticket to Adventure. As we pause for just a moment, I'll remind you that Insightful Living offers a wide variety of ways to deepen your understanding of this passage and many others. For instance, if you're accustomed to waking up in the morning and spending a few minutes reflecting on the Bible, well, Chuck and his creative team have prepared online study notes for you. We call this feature Searching the Scriptures Studies. This creative resource is interactive, meaning you can type your thoughts directly into the online document. And why not make these study notes the centerpiece for your small group Bible study? Print out the PDFs and distribute them to your friends. To access these Searching the Scriptures study notes for Chuck's teaching on Joshua, go to insightfulliving.org.uk. And that's not all. Chuck is highly recommending a new book that's been written by his good friend and pastoral colleague, Jonathan Murphy. It's called Authentic Influencer, The Barnabas Way of Shaping Lives for Jesus. In this book, Jonathan inspires a whole new generation of leaders who can take their cues from Barnabas. To request a copy of this softback book, go to insightfulliving.org.uk. And then bear in mind that it's your voluntary donations that make it possible for us to provide these daily visits with Chuck and the many resources designed to strengthen your walk with God. The summer months are sometimes financially lean for locally registered charities like Insightful Living, but your gift today will help close that gap. Thank you for responding to the need. To let us know you're listening, address your envelope to Insightful Living, UK, P.O. Box 553, Dorking, RH49EU. You can also call us on 0800 787 9364 or make a donation online at insightfulliving.org.uk. Are you in recovery mode? I'm Terry Boyle. Don't miss Chuck Swindoll's comforting message about a safe place to heal on Friday on Insightful Living. The preceding message, Age, Your Ticket to Adventure, was copyrighted in 2022 and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll, Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.